website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving San Marco at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. I have Dr. Glenn Davis with me today. Dr. Davis and I will be talking about a very important subject, a subject that I believe that we need to be cognizant of and aware of. Should we be afraid? Should we be afraid? Now, perhaps you say, well, that's a little different kind of issue. We're faced today with things that could be frightening from every hand, from every perspective. We're having so many voices today. Some voices are saying, be alert, be aware, be aware of your circumstances, situation, your surrounding. We're told that Israel should stop defending itself from the Islamic jihadists. Other voices are reminding us that we have sheer evil in the world. State of Maine, for example, most of the citizens are being told to lock down, shut in, don't go to the malls, don't get in your car, don't go anyplace. Fear, when we see what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, on the streets across America and on the campuses of our formerly prestigious universities, the question is, should we be afraid? Should we be fearful of what is taking place today? I'm looking at a headline, U.S. Senator warns, new pandemic is on its way, courtesy of our country. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that there's so many voices, so many players, so many actors on the stage, that we're watching what could be very fearful for the average person. So I want to speak to you today. Should we be afraid? And let me remind you, as we talk about issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The text in John 8:31-32 with the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, which is applicable to us today, by the way. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the word of God says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, we can go back to the fundamentals of the faith as recorded in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God and understand what we should do and how we should respond. It's the truth book. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement so many years ago in his dystopian novel called 1984. He said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we're finding that to be truthful today, if I can use that term. Folks don't want to hear the truth, generally speaking. There are those that feel that somehow, some way, they have the edge on truth. This is the reason I go back to the statement by the former U.S. Senator, Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint said this, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in so many of our churches. And the sad thing is, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, because this has a nexus and what we see taking place in the streets today with the young, how would you say, brainwashed kids out of our Marxist universities that's marching for Palestine, as they call it, and marching and saying we need to eradicate all Jews. 55%, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, half-truth is a whole lie. There's no such thing as your own version of truth. You can't bifurcate truth. You can't modify and change truth. Truth is either truth or it's not true at all. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge every broadcast, is that we need to seek the truth, listen to the truth. By the way, AOC and the other three, the harebrains in the U.S. House of Representatives, they wouldn't know truth if it slapped them in the face. We've got a number of others on both sides of the aisle in the same condition. They've been so accustomed to the, how would you say, the arrogant attitude in the Beltway in Washington that they manufactured their own truth. They manufactured their own reality. And we need to recognize that that is spreading across America today as a cancer. We need to seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, be willing to stand and defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Top of that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole and flag fine, ladies and gentlemen, the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, before I get so engrossed in the broadcast today, and I forget to do so, let me give you an open invitation, twofold. This Sunday at 10:40 a.m., by the way, we have Bible study at 9:30. At 10:40 a.m., we have worship service. We have a traditional worship service. It's not a rock and roll service. We have traditional gospel music that honors God, that you can hear the words that speak to your heart. We'll be preaching from the pulpit on Sunday morning as we continue our journey through the study of the book of the Revelation. We'll be looking at Revelation, the 11th chapter, verses 15 through 19. We'll be talking about in that text this Sunday, the seventh trumpet. Keep in mind, in the book of the Revelation, there's seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls of wrath. When the seventh trumpet is blown, the last half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years open, doom and devastation intensifying with the seven vials of wrath being poured out. So when you hear the message on Sunday morning, keep in mind that's approximately, as best academics and theologians can determine, that's the best we can determine that it's the halfway point of the tribulation. So we'll be looking at the seventh trumpet Sunday morning. Some have called it the last trumpet. There's the last of the seven trumpets and then the seven vials. So you're invited. Love to have you as our special guest on Sunday morning. If you're not already involved in the church, come be with us. If you're involved in the church where you're looking for more, you want the word being taught, you want to be able to be trained in the word of God, you want to hear the word of God and understand it, then we invite you to come. Join with us, be a part of the fellowship, if God so directs. That's at 9:30 for the Bible study, 10:40 a.m. for the morning worship service. One other invitation before we get into the issue of the day. Invitation number two, next Friday, that's November the 3rd, next Friday evening at 7 o'clock, we have the Florida Freedom Keepers. We are hosting the event, but the Florida Freedom Keepers will be presenting a video at 7 o'clock. It's called Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. It's a 91-minute video presentation. It's about the truth behind the so-called vaccination. It is the truth behind the dangers of it, the catastrophe as a result of it. The Florida Freedom Keepers will be here to make the presentation. And then, ladies and gentlemen, there will be the invitation then for November the 14th. We'll have the Florida Freedom Keepers bus out on the campus. It'll be the Vax bus. If you've been harmed in any way from the COVID protocol in the hospital or out of the hospital, or if you have been injured in some fashion because of the COVID protocol, or if you have loved ones that have died as a result of the treatment, the Vax bus will be here. There will be the professionals on board to let you sit and give an audio video recording of what happened, what took place. They're stockpiling, if you please, accumulating these events for a future class action suit against the federal government and or against the pharmaceuticals that's been so responsible, hurting and harming so many people. Keep in mind, that is November the 3rd, the video at 7 p.m. here on the campus in the Worship Center of First Conservative Baptist Church. Then on November the 14th, we'll have the Florida Freedom Keepers here with the Vax bus. They're traveling across the nation. They'll be in 60 different locations. Ours is the first stop in the state of Florida. We're delighted to be able to host them, and we look forward to your presence, your participating in that. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your tuning in today. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast. If you will give us a few moments for a brief monologue to enter into the discussion, that telephone number then is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd love to have your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Pastor Davis, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to what God's going to say through us. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for the opportunity to be able to minister to the body of Christ. Amen. First, amen, I want to say I give honor to God the Father, who's the head of my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to say amen. Good morning to my bride of 37 years and all of my family and friends that may be listening on today. Dr. Phelps, we are praying for you. We love you. And we want you to know, amen, we are praying for your speedy recovery.
Amen.
And we also send our prayers out to the families of the people in Maine where that deranged shooter remains not being captured yet.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Youngblood, there's no place for people like that in society.
None.
And it's time for us to close the loopholes.
Yes.
Where they're escaping,
mm-hmm,
and having a chance to gain access to firearms, even though they are mentally challenged. Now, listen, we are not coming down on people who have challenges. All of us have challenges from time to time. But certainly, if that challenge is going to put you in a state to where you can't make the right judgment call when it comes down to certain things such as the good and welfare of others, then certainly you don't need to have access to those rights.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Pastor Davis. Part of the subject matter today was we'll look at the issue of should we be afraid. Can you imagine the folks in Maine being in the state of fear? In fact, they've closed the schools. They've closed down the shopping centers. All of the governmental agencies are shut down completely. That is causing a ripple of fear, consternation, concern, chaos, caution all through the state because they don't really know where the man is. But since you touched on that, let me drill a little deeper. There's an individual that is in the military reserve, I think. He's a marksman. He is a sharpshooter. He has access to his weapons. Now, listen, I'm a Second Amendment rights person.
Amen.
I believe, in fact, I believe very frankly, the best way to stop crime in America is for every citizen to be armed, period. Armed, visible carry in the society in which we're living. In fact, I'll touch on this and digress for a moment. Back a number of years ago, in fact, it was in the late 70s, early 80s, I've forgotten the exact date, in the state of Georgia, your home state, my home state,
Amen.
In the state of Georgia, one of the little towns in South Georgia, they had so much crime, a new mayor had gone into office, had been elected, a young man, and he had claimed in his run for office that if you elect me, I can help bring down crime. And so one of the first orders that he gave, he ordered every citizen in that county to be armed, have a weapon, carry the weapon. Within 90 days, crime dropped 90%. 90%.
Wow.
So I'm an advocate for that. And in fact, I've said I believe in God and Glock and in that order.
Well, certainly, Dr. Youngblood, when you look at God the Father himself, I mean, basically, when he, let's say, started out from the first beginning with his people, Israel, these were actually men who were trained in the art of combat, fighting, defense, so forth and so on. But these were capable men. Let's remember that again. Now, I said that in my first explanation of why individuals who are challenged, mentally challenged, should not have access to firearms. If they are not capable, again, if there's anything that would make them incapacitated to the point to where they can't mentally make the right call when it comes down to how to handle a firearm in the first beginning, then they should not be granted that.
Well, you touch on that, and that's the whole point. This man, and I'm not even going to, give the benefit of calling his name on the air, this man shot up two places, as it be called, and I'm just amazed that apparently not one person in both of those places of business, not one had a weapon to be able to defend the people. Not one. Now, they may have. I don't know. But to my knowledge, not one had a weapon. Nobody fired back to try to defend themselves. He walked in and just mowed them down. I think the total is 18 and about six that are still critical that may or may not live. But here's the point. He claimed to be hearing voices. He'd already been hospitalized for 2 weeks during the summer for mental incapacity. He was already on the radar of the FBI. The FBI knew his condition. The local law enforcement knew his condition, yet he was allowed to still carry the weapon, et cetera, et cetera. You go into what's called the red flag laws in many states, including the state of Florida, that could have blocked that. But the whole point is that I want to, our listeners to understand today, with that news out there, it is a propensity to bring fear, absolute fear and terror in the hearts of people. When you look at what is taking place in Israel, when you look at the Middle East war, that is enough to bring fear in the hearts of people. And so I want our listeners to understand today that regardless of what we see around us, regardless of what, I'm looking at a headline, Pastor, State Department issues warning to Americans to reconsider travel. This article says U.S. Department of State increased its travel advisory to level 3, which urges American citizens to reconsider any travel. So what we're watching is an aura of fear, or an aura that could bring about fear. And I believe that it's time Christians, conservatives, and patriots recognize that God's not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, when we examine the facts, I mean the details that have already been put out there, I think that his superiors, you know, in the military should be held accountable. Because if it's true, and I'm just going to say this so we can move on and maybe start taking our callers. If it's true, what's been put out there during his military experience or when whenever he goes in for his service, from what I can understand, I think he's a National Guardsman and so forth and so on. And they have to go in for training, for duty, for exercises, so forth and so on. So, okay, if it's true, what's been said about what he did while he went out to one of his service calls or his duties. He threatened
He threatened to blow up, to shoot the whole place. Shoot it up, he kind of think they call
that, that's what I'm saying. So okay, that right there should have been the first line of defense. That was the red flag right there.
That was
the
red flag signal right
when
there.
When that happened, they should have immediately turned all attention to him.
Yes.
And maybe this thing wouldn't have happened like this.
It goes
so
back,
they should be held accountable.
Goes
that's
back
the
to several other
that.
Events that have taken place with what they call mass shootings, where the person's already on the FBI radar, but they dropped the ball. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. I hope you're all also. You know what? It reminds me of Nancy Pelosi when it was talking about it was the riot, you know, storming the government. Okay. Now, if you already know, and when I think it was the captain of the security, ask her to call in the National Guard. She said, no, it's a setup. They're going to try to use this again to take guns away from Americans.
Oh, there's no question about it. Anytime somebody shoots a BB gun, if it's just a BB gun, they scream out gun control. Biden has already said we need to go back with the control of the long weapons, the long rifles, the automatic weapons, or the weapons of war, as they like to call it on the liberal side of the aisle. That's the whole point. The whole point is, Kenneth, what we're talking about today, and I think you understand that, is that there's an aura of fear in America today, and it's a demonic delusion, and we ought not to allow these things to cause us. We need to be concerned. We need to understand. We need to see what's happening. We need to recognize it, be cognizant of it, but we ought not to be fearful because of it.
And Dr. Youngberg, can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
I'll make a comment. I mean, I see people in their cars with the windows up, with the masks on. For real. I've seen this, and I'm like, what the heck? You know, I'm like, Marvin Gaye, what's going on?
Yes.
But I bet you any amount of money, because we got so many thousands of cells in here now that hate America, like they had that coordinated attack on Israel, they're going to have it on us. Now that idiot, oh Lord, please forgive me.
But no, I think your description was correct. Go ahead.
Okay, but the puppet, now he wanna build a wall. It's too late now. You've already let China, Iran, ISIS, everybody's over here. And they're gonna be coordinated.
Yes, sir, and I'm fearful of that, not that I'm shaky afraid, but I'm anxious about it from the standpoint of realizing where we're headed, and yet so many conservatives and Christians and patriots, some two sides of the aisle with that, some are petrified and they do nothing. Some do not even know what's taking place. They do not know enough about what is the truth of the matter. Therefore, they do not know how to stand and speak up about spiritual things as we see them today. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. We'll take another caller now. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. I believe Sally's on the line. Sally, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I would. First of all, I want to say thank you for your program. I listen to it when I can. I've been a Christian a long time, and I've been studying history a long time, and I really feel like that a lot of these events are set up to bring about whatever the liberals want to do in this country. And I think the end result of that is to bring the U.S. down. But saying that, I believe that if anybody, like they had the signs and all, could do that, they also could know. But yet they can't find this guy. And we have all kinds of cameras and stuff all over the place that they can find anybody they want to, if they want to. So I think a lot of this is to do what you said, to instill fear. And people are not staying with the Lord, so they don't know. The Lord says, fear not. I'm with you. Be not dismayed. Amen. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And we have to have a mindset in the Christian community today to be totally committed to God, to follow him, and to do what we can to let people know what's going on in this country.
Sally, amen. You're amen. Spot on with what you're saying.
Very good.
And one of the things that one of my sons has said so often, Greg, and sometimes you hear Greg and I talking on the broadcast together, Greg has said for years, he said, Dad, what takes place? The government causes the problem. Then they come back and say, we've got a solution that will resolve the problem for you. But generally speaking, it's the government instigating the problem, then the government saying they've got a resolution. Sally, while I've got you on the line, I'm looking at a headline. America is barreling toward cultural revolution as pro-Palestinian protests sweep campuses. Let me read just a brief paragraph and get your thoughts because of your background in history. It says the full death of the attributable to the Chinese Communist Party is still unknown. Some estimates put the number of Mao's killings at about 70 million. Others put the number higher. Though the various socialist movements in China, among the worst was the Cultural Revolution. And there were shocking similarities between what people at that time experienced and what's happening right now in the United States of America. This is especially so as the tensions over the Israeli-Hamas conflict reach a boiling point. So with that being said, this particular writer, comparing what's happening now in America based on the Hamas killings of the Jews and their going back to protect themselves, some are saying that we're on the verge of a revolution now. Do you see that as the potential as we watch what is happening on the campuses, in the streets, where these pro-Palestinians, as they're called, now are in their full riot mode? What do you see on the horizon from that?
Well, I do believe there's a power force behind all government, and it's controlled by the richest people in the world. We have the Bilderberg Group, we have the Trilateral, we have all these organizations that are against the United States. We have people like Biden who's, you know, in with the Chinese and the Russians and the Japanese and Iran, and all this is being staged. Of course, we know the Lord has control and the Lord knows what's happening, but all this stuff is being staged to come against Israel and the conservative Christian person. So all this that you see happening, I believe, in the world today is being controlled by other people that we don't see. So yes, people are being brainwashed, and they're believing all this stuff, and parents are not teaching their children about history. They're not teaching them about anything that would be the truth. Like you said, the truth is what is valid, and the only truth is the Bible. Mm-hmm. So if people aren't knowing Jesus and don't know the Bible, they're not learning the truth to teach their children. And I have a son that's 21, and I've taught him since he was little all this history and all this stuff. And so he's very aware. Our problem is we talk it, but we don't actually know what to do. You know, as a woman, I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And I'm waiting for that answer because I feel like that I should be doing something. And what's happening now is our people are being persecuted, and Israel is being persecuted. And yes, people in this country think, oh, that's okay. They don't have the right to defend themselves. But the Bible says, don't touch my land, you know, don't touch my people. So I don't think people realize. But, you know, you can't fear, because even if something happens to you and you die believing the right thing, you're going to heaven with Jesus. So, amen. You know, that's just the way I feel. And I feel so bad for all this stuff going on, because my heart goes out to the Israelites and yes, what they're going through.
Well, that's the correct place. And let me commend you, Sally, as a woman. Yes, God has placed it on your heart, enthroning the Son, embracing the love of the Lord in your heart for Him and for others. And it is my commendation to you for doing so. So don't look at it on the basis I can't do anything. I'm thankful for your stand. I'm thankful for what God has placed in your heart. Keep on keeping on and doing what you're now doing. And thank you so much for your call. God Amen. Bless you. May Amen. We keep looking
up. Thank you up. Very much.
Thank you, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll come back as we continue our issues today. Should we be afraid? That's the question. That's the issue. Join us right after the news.
Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. In Maine, a suspected killer remains on the run. Robert Card is wanted for two mass shootings that killed 18 people in Lewiston, Maine. Earlier, heavily armed police surrounded a home in Bowdoin as they searched for Card, but they left hours later after finding that he was not there. American F-16 fighters have bombed two sites in eastern Syria, those sites said to be linked to Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps. The airstrikes are a response to recent attacks on U.S. personnel in the region. And Israel launched another incursion into the Gaza Strip overnight. Israeli forces, backed by fighter jets and drones, carrying out a second ground raid into Gaza in as many days. Ford workers returning to their jobs now that the UAW has a tentative contract with the automaker. Talks with GM and Stellantis continue. On Wall Street, the Dow down 122 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you serving the Lord in any capacity in ministry? Conservative Theological University would like you to call today. CTU now offers partial grant scholarships for new students. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for admissions info for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject, an issue today, that I believe at this point in time in history is so vital. The question is asked, should we be afraid? Ezekiel 33:10, Ezekiel asked the question, how should we then live? So based on what we see taking place today, how should we then live? Should we be afraid? Should we be fearful of what is taking place in the world? I'm amazed when I read a statistic that says 57.6% of the Islamic Americans want to destroy the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. I'm looking at a headline article that absolutely is staggering to think that it would even have taken place in America, in an American institution. This article says Jewish students at New York University cornered by pro-Hamas protesters. Jewish students at Cooper University, Cooper Union, a private New York City college, were locked inside the library Wednesday as pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas protesters beat their fist on the doors, screaming, and tried to gain entry. The reporter that New York Police Department was called, and as soon as the protesters stormed the main Cooper Union building, but the officers, when they arrived, did nothing. This article says New York City council person said Thursday morning that she had spoken with the four of the students barricaded in the library. No one was arrested in the incident. Are Jewish students in danger on American campuses? This author of the article writes. That is the question. So listen, we're talking about, with all of the things taking place locally, nationally, and globally that are frightening sounding. There are issues and things that are simply almost unheard of in history past in America as taking place. When we see what's happening in Israel, when we see that the Israelis are defending themselves, when we see that now, I believe, 14 missiles lobbed out of Syria and out of Lebanon into Iraq and other places where Americans have, where we have troops, and yet nothing has been done to retaliate or to respond in like kind from this administration to say to those that are lobbing the missiles at us, we Americans, nothing is done. Are we on the fast track for World War III? That's the question that I think that we need to answer. When you find, Pastor Davis, when we see that parents can stand before the school board and complain because pornography is being shown in the classroom and calling it educational material, and they're designated as domestic terrorists. One recently took place right down in Tampa, Florida. And when the parent opened the book and started reading verbatim and showing pictures of what's shown in the textbook, the school board in Tampa, Florida, asked the police to escort them out and took the material. So when we see that, should parents be afraid? Should we be afraid? Should we be fearful? So Pastor Davis, what are your thoughts when we see what's taking place with Hamas, what's taking place in China, what's taking place in the Ukraine, what's taking place on American campuses and the streets in America with the mobs of people that have been directed by their Marxist, socialist, communist professors? They're simply following the marching orders from these formerly recognized as prestigious universities. How should we respond as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots? What would be your recommendation to our listeners?
Well, in spite of all we see, Dr. Youngblood, again, we have to not fear. We have to remain steadfast because our God is able to fight our battle in spite of all. When we look at persecution, when we look at difficulty, when we look at the times, mm-hmm. how the times have progressed more towards evil
yes.
than it ever had before.
That's right.
In our lifetime.
That's
and
right.
we're still less than 100 years old.
Still less than 100, yeah.
Praise, praise God.
Yes.
But we have to remember, God is still in control.
That's right.
Now, there's nothing new under the sun, the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
We may be seeing it in a more modern fashion, but still, it's not anything brand new.
That's right.
Now, when we look at all the difficulties and the persecutions that the apostles faced, and others throughout the Bible, my mind went back to Esther.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of facing her people facing annihilation, she said, if I perish, let me perish.
Amen.
I'm going to see the king.
Good statement, yes.
She remained steadfast in mm-hmm. spite of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have many other examples in the Bible. When we go to the book of Acts, and I just took a few notes on that. Well, let me start with that. Brother Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
When he was being stoned to death, he didn't let that stop him from preaching the gospel.
That's right.
In other words, to those naysayers that were around him that were taking his life.
Took a stand.
He remained steadfast.
That's right.
In spite of being stoned.
Yes.
Then when we look at Paul and Barnabas, wherever they went, they always had naysayers coming behind them
mm-hmm.
trying to, can I say it in today's words, tear up the church.
That's right.
We still have people like that with us now today.
That's right.
That come along in spite of what we are preaching and teaching in our institutions and trying to keep people on track with the word of God. We have people that are garnering supporters in the corners of the church that are turning them against what the pastor says and does.
Pastor, you mentioned that. Let me jump in for a moment. I'm vitally concerned because very few pastors will stand in the pulpit and explain to the members what's happening in Israel, who is Hamas, why are they fighting, who owns the land, who's the rightful heirs to the nation of Israel's land, who did the title deed first go to 4,000, almost 4,000 years ago? Who gave that title deed? What authority does that title deed grantor have in the idea that we see today? Most pastors are not explaining that to the listeners. Most pastors are not explaining that to those in the congregation. Most pastors, in my most humble opinion, most pastors are afraid to touch on that subject because so many loose-likes-lost liberals on the left side of the aisle take the stand that Palestinians own the land, that the Jews are squatters, and they need to be moved out or destroyed. And most are afraid to face that, confront that, and tell the truth. What do you see from your perspective as a pastor and as what you see in your community and in general? Am I right, or is that something that I'm just not understanding?
Well, I'm wondering, Dr. Youngblood, and I have noticed that, like you said, down through the years, mm-hmm. and all the way up until this day and time right now. I've even noticed it this week.
Yes.
Since these different things are happening, that we see this happening in the news with the Middle East and with the deranged gunman, mm-hmm. and with the teaching of pornography and all these other things that they are trying to infiltrate our institution with,
yes.
in our society and our time today. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's due to ignorance, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to, again, you know, come down on anybody, or I don't know if it's fear, but I call it a neglect of duty as a pastor.
Yes, that's good.
Because
statement.
You're doing a disservice to your congregation if you're not educating them in the Word of God, because some don't even realize our connection with the nation of Israel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So once you come to an understanding of that, then you will have Christians throwing their full support behind the people of Israel because they were the chosen people of God we were grafted in.
That's right.
So we need to realize through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, we have become one with the people of Israel. We were outside of the covenants of grace.
Mm-hmm.
But as of now, since Christ has died and shed his blood and gone back to heaven, we have a great privilege mm-hmm. to be as one.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Hebrew word for that is the mishboha. We have become one. We have become the one new man in Christ Jesus. Christ tore down the middle wall of partition between us. So now we have become one with them. So there's no way that we can separate that. But as soon as we come into the knowledge of this, and we have to do a better job of teaching this.
That's right. We must do that.
Amen.
In fact,
so that our people can come to the full knowledge of understanding, and they can throw their full support where it's really needed, and that's with the people of God.
Absolutely. No question about it. And Pastor, I always say that I stand with Israel, with the Jewish people, for about three or four major reasons. Number one, our scripture. We got our scripture from Jewish people.
Amen.
All of the Word of God is written, every book in the Bible is written by Jewish pen except for the Gospel of Luke. Dr. Luke was not a Jewish person. Jesus Christ, our Messiah, came out of Israel. He ascended back into heaven from the Mount of Olives out of Israel. When he returns, he'll return to the Mount of Olives, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years in the new millennial temple out of Israel.
Amen.
So I stand with Israel. I stand with the people of Israel. Now, a whole lot, I'm told the majority of those in Israel are agnostics, but that does not negate the fact that the Bible says that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
That we need
Amen.
To stand. God's word says that he's going to bless those nations that bless Israel. So we have that responsibility. But the bottom line is, we're finding so many today that are petrified, they're frightened, they do not know where to stand, what to say. And the intent of this issue that we're facing today is for people to understand God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We should not be afraid. Let me just use one example before we take our next caller. Daniel, for example. In the 6th chapter of Daniel, you find that the president, if you please, the king, had issued a decree that for 30 days no one could pray to any god except for the king for 30 days. When Daniel knew that the death warrant had been signed, that's what I call it, what did he do? Was he afraid? No. He went to his room. He got on his knees with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day as he had before time. It didn't frighten him. he may have been interested or concerned, but it didn't frighten him. Ladies and gentlemen, when we see these things take place, it ought not to bring fear. We need to understand that the Scripture tells us that all that love and serve the Lord Jesus will suffer persecution.
Amen.
We understand Jesus said, the world hated me, therefore it's going to hate you. So therefore, Christians today are hated, despised, and persecuted under the Biden administration, not only being persecuted but prosecuted today, but it ought not to bring fear. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over to the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you. Yes, Dr. Davis, God bless you. Thanks for what you're doing. Please continue to sound the alarm. The thought of moving towards World War III is alarming and overwhelming. But to me, it's a reality we're looking at. The young man that they're searching for who committed the atrocity, 18 victims, this is not the first incident like that, that we are somehow led to wonder if he was nurtured and prepared for carrying out, executing what he has done. He's not the first. He's not the first one that gave us that impression based on the red flags and all that was known. Why was he treated like that? Why was he allowed? After that, it is known that he was mentally incapacitated, in difficult. Looking at it here now, why is like our leaders keep playing a two-faced game or a two-sided talking, two sides of the mouth? Because they're telling us one thing and yet doing another. We saw it with the Ukraine war, as if like they nurtured it and welcomed the beginning of the war with Ukraine. And now we see the same thing with Israel now, because why would our leaders be enriching Iran when they know what Iran's goal is, what Iran represents? And why would they be supporting the Palestinians who are committed to the terrorists in the midst and support all of the support that we're giving to them is allowing the terrorists to do what they end up doing? So you're looking at a two-side thing. Like they give us one impression: oh yes, we're standing with Israel, we're standing with Israel, and yet you're supporting the enemy. What? That's not making any sense. You're enriching Iran, and you know what? And the thing about it is that whatever we need to keep in mind, and all the Americans who are joining in to support evil and to becoming a part of supporting without, although you might be not Christian, you're supporting evil. We need to realize that whatever Iran's goal is for Israel and the terrorists, Hamas and the others, to destroy Israel, get rid of Israel, is not just Israel, it's Israel and America. And that means the Christian world, Christian community. We know that Iran says America is a big Satan and Israel is a little Satan. So whatever plan they have to get rid of Israel, we should recognize it. We don't know where we're going, but thank God he is well aware. Nothing is taking him by surprise. Hallelujah. He's on the throne and he's on the oversight of everything. But we are in trouble. Our leadership all over different nations.
That is exactly what we're deficit in, Lily. You're spot on with what you're saying. We've been having some technical difficulty with the sound on and off, so I'm praying that our listeners can bear with us as we continue the broadcast. But Lily, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. We need to keep looking up. Pastor Davis, one of the things that I'm concerned about when we look at a world picture, locally, state, national, and around the world, and we see so much chaos and confusion and conflict, I think about Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, the 4th chapter in particular. You find about the 8th verse and following that the Bible is very, very clear that the enemies formed a conspiracy against Nehemiah and his people. They were rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. Ultimately, 52 days, 49,942 people. They were successful in rebuilding the wall. But the enemies detested that. Enemies did not want to see God's work progressing. So as a result of that, they formed a conspiracy to try to tear down and destroy. Nehemiah, the very thing that he did when that took place, Nehemiah in the 4th chapter, verse 8 and 9, said, "So we prayed to our God, and they heard the enemy, 'We're going to destroy you.' They prayed to God. They kept on working. They had a trial to do the brick and the mortar with one hand and a sword in the other hand. And then in the 4th chapter, in the 20th verse, Nehemiah told his people, 'Our God shall fight for us.'" So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want us to understand, when we look at what Daniel did in the 6th chapter of Daniel, he wasn't frightened, he wasn't afraid. He kept on praying as he had aforetimes. When you look at what Nehemiah did, they were not frightened, they were not afraid. They kept on working, but they prayed, they planned, and prepared with instruments that could protect them during the midst of it. So my contention is, Pastor Davis, that our listeners, Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to recognize what's happening. We need to understand that we're in the last of the last days. We need to recognize that God's Word said we're going to be in perilous times. That means dark, dangerous, difficult, deadly, and destructive times. We're in those days. But even in the midst of that, we are not to be afraid. Perilous times, the Scripture says. So what are we talking about, Pastor, today? Perilous times. Let me just touch on this and then let you take it from there. In Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, we call them the eschatological prophetic units of thought. And in Matthew 24, verse 5 and following, the Bible talks about the signs of the last days. We'll have false teachers. We'll have wars and rumblings of wars. We'll have earthquakes, famine, and if I could extend that further, floods and fires. And it's not because of global warming or climate change. God's doing it. But ladies and gentlemen, the persecution on every hand. But with all of that taking place, Pastor Davis, Luke 21, 28 says, "Look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh."
Amen.
So God's word didn't say when these things all start taking place that we need to be frightened, afraid, hide in the closet. That we need to look up and realizing, which says, "Look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." Scripture is literally saying we need to understand God is working. God is in control. God is about to do something.
Amen.
Tell us about what God's about to do and how we should respond to it.
Well, if we consider the prophetic clock, and let's remember God's time is not our time.
Yes.
We're at the point right now that where the rapture of the church is getting ready to take place.
I am ready.
So listen, we all, as Christians, we need to pack up, get up, stand up, and look up.
That's right.
Because we're going up.
That's right.
And if you're not ready to go, listen, my friend, it's just going to be too bad and so sad, because there's going to be trouble on the earth like it never, ever was, according to Matthew 24. That's what Jesus said.
That's right.
And never, ever will be again.
That's right.
But still yet, as the people of God, we don't have a reason to fear. If, and I'm going to say this like the old saints used to say, if you got your business fixed, you got to, in other words, get it together, get it right with God.
Right.
And make sure that you're in the right standing with him so that when this rapture happens, that you'll be able to go up. Now, we understand that the world is just going to be the world. And we need to consider ourselves blessed, because I told an individual this the other day. If it wasn't for you having the Spirit of God in you, in your heart right now, you would be just like those people out in the world.
You got it. That's right.
You'd be out there panicking, wondering what to do next, which way to go, which way to turn, what's going to happen next.
That's right.
But because we have the Spirit of God down on the inside, Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you, my peace giveth I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled. All things were written before time for our learning," according to Romans 15,
right,
"that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope."
Amen.
When we anchor our hope in what's already been said, everything that God says, and I was teaching this last night to the students in the class, this whole Bible should be considered a promise to the believer.
You got it.
Until you are able to receive that on a personal level and have a personal relationship, listen, Christianity is not a religion. It's actually a relationship.
That's right.
So when we come into that relationship with God and read his word, we can wax bold in the faith and catch hold of God's unchanging hand. Because when we consider the hall of faith, and I was just reading through that, mm-hmm. in Hebrews chapter 11, many of those people made it by faith. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. The Spirit only moved on certain individuals in the Old Testament times. But when we start from Hebrews chapter 1 and it start talking about Abraham and the rest of those others who persevered.
Yes.
In spite of all the affliction they were.
Kept on keeping on.
That's right. That they were facing. Mm-hmm. They did this through faith. Mm-hmm. So listen, if faith worked for them, it'll work for us.
Amen. We need to have that faith, and I call it faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. So if it's real faith, it's going to remain faith.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm looking at a headline, and the headline is kind of frightening. It says, home invader in his underwear yells, free Palestine, after entering U.S. home of Jewish family. This is what we see now taking place. I don't want to frighten our listeners, but the purpose of the broadcast today is to talk about whatever's happening. We still need to have faith in God. We still need to be aware of what's happening, but without fear. This article says, home invader in underwear yells, free Palestine, after entering a U.S. home of Jewish family. A man allegedly broke into a Jewish family's Studio City home in California early on Wednesday morning, and threatened to kill them because of their nationality. The family locked themselves into a room in their home after the man allegedly crashed through the back door and began shouting death threats at them. The suspect was allegedly armed with a butcher knife from the kitchen at the time of his arrest and repeatedly shouted, free Palestine, and brown people matter from the back of the police car as he was being hauled off. Ladies and gentlemen, that's enough to frighten anybody. But on the national level, we're watching the fomenting of what some have said is a revolution that will take place in America. The fomenting of that. So how should we then live? What should be our response? I think we need to recognize that even though all of us, I believe, that's in the know of what's happening in the world, when we see what's happening with North Korea, when we look at what's happening with China, when we see what is taking place with Russia and Ukraine, when we see what is happening in the Middle East, all of the Middle East is on fire today. We're watching the global reset based on the Word of God. We're watching the oncoming preparation for Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Russia will lead a five-member nation against Israel and will bring about the conflagration that I call the war with Russia in Ezekiel 38 and 39. But as the scripture in Matthew 24 talks about wars and rumors of wars, that means rumblings of wars. So the war with Russia, which we're watching get started now, we call World War III or the war with Russia, it will rumble into the final conflagration known as the Battle of Armageddon. But with all of that said, it should bring comfort and peace and strength and encouragement to the Christian, to the conservative, to the patriot, and the realization that God is in control. God is still on the throne. God's not asleep. God's not on vacation. Pastor, we've got about 40 seconds. Wrap us up as we close the broadcast today.
Well, let me encourage everybody once again to hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Yes.
Remain steadfast. Let's pray for the new Speaker of the House.
Yes,
because absolutely. You know, we really need God to work through him.
That's right.
You know, for us, for our good.
Amen. Yes.
Because when we look at, you know, all the others that were there before, mm-hmm. They were nullifying Christian rights, you know, mm-hmm. different things like that. So, I mean, we don't have time to explain all of that, but still yet, we want you to remain focused on that.
Amen.
And know that in spite of all, God is still yet in control.
Yes. And you mentioned the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Notice when he did his acceptance speech and was sworn in, he took his Bible to the lectern as he spoke. And as a result of that, it's got the hair on fire for all the loose lax lost liberals on the side of the ones that are challenging everything. Now they're saying he's homophobic. Now they're going back and saying that he is ill-prepared. Now they're making all kind of accusations against him. And that's proof positive he's the man of God for the right time.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
Pray for him. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and